Well, saints, this is one of the best sights I've seen in a long, long time. Amen. When I walked in here yesterday, that was this morning, wasn't it? I couldn't believe this many young people together really getting the kind of word that you got this morning. And I'd like to just give you a kind of a fast trip of my history, just because I feel like it's really the Lord's mercy that got me here and kept me here and still keeping me here in the Lord's recovery. We just got through reading about what the enemy tries to do and what the Lord recovers. We're in the stage of the Lord's recovery. And that stage has been going on since in this particular phase of the Lord's recovery, since about 1925 or 28, something like that, when Brother Lee and Brother Nee were together. But we're in 2003 now, so the Lord is still moving on in His recovery. And I just like to say how much I appreciate what the Lord has done together, all you young people together. This is the future of the Lord's recovery. Amen. This way we are assured the Lord will have a thorough recovery that will bring Him back. Amen. Well, I've been in the Lord's recovery now for about 38 years. And let's go back a little bit. I was saved probably when I was about 9 years old. But that all I did then was just join the Baptist church, because that's what my folks were in, and that's what I thought I would have to do. And one Sunday morning, I got kind of a feeling that this is the day I ought to join the church. So I told my mother that at the beginning of the sermon that I wanted to join the church this morning. And they gave an invitation at the end. So after the sermon was over, she woke me up and asked me if I still wanted to join. And I did, so I did. But I don't know how to count that as the day that I got saved or regenerated or what. But something happened to cause me to be interested in the Lord's things from then on. So I grew up in New Mexico and was active with the young people when I was in high school and junior high. And then I went into the Navy in 1942 and got out in 1946. And decided I needed, after I heard what I heard, while I was in the Navy, I came across the Navigators, a Bible study for servicemen. And I came to a solid realization of my salvation. And I really began to get serious about the Lord. So when I came back to the United States, I didn't go anymore to the Baptist church. I was looking for something more solid. And I joined an independent church. And even in that, I still was looking forward to something more living, more solid. And I then was transferred to Kansas City, Missouri, and I met the Brethren, the so-called Plymouth Brethren. And that was something more than I'd ever seen before about being a genuine church life. But still, they lacked a lot, but I didn't know that then. But I really took it up, and I kept with them for about 20 years and learned a lot of doctrines, but I didn't learn very much life. But I was serious enough about it that I wanted to start a Brethren assembly somewhere. So I was transferred by Shell Pipeline to Odessa, Texas. And in that 10 years, from 1954 to 64, I had labored there to start an assembly. A Brethren assembly, and it grew up to about 50 or 60 people. And then in that time, a couple of us brothers learned about Brother Lee, and a brother handed me a book about by Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life. That revolutionized my whole speaking and my whole time. And we didn't believe in pastors, but anyway, that's what I was practicing. And I repented of that later. But when I got that book, there was nothing else I could speak but just what was in that book. I learned about my human spirit. I never knew that I had a spirit. I learned that Jesus Christ had become the life-giving spirit in His resurrection. I didn't know He had become the life-giving spirit. And I had a big question mark. How did Christ become a life-giving spirit? But I got the truth from Brother Lee's ministry, and I was rescued out of that dilemma. But we finally decided the best thing for us to do there was to invite Brother Lee to come to us. So in 1963, we invited Brother Lee, and he came and spent 4 nights with us. 3 nights he spoke about Christ as life, and more or less the saints responded. But the 4th night he spoke about the church, especially the local church, and the response of the saints for the most part just disappeared. But I did find out that this is really what the Bible taught, this is really what I wanted to see, and I was really caught by his being there. Just those 4 nights, and then a return visit on the way back to California for 1 afternoon, I fell in love with Brother Lee, with the Lord's recovery, with the Bible in a new way, and I was really caught. But there was, the opposition was so strong from other believers and denominational people I had known that I just didn't know what I was going to do. But eventually, I realized that if I'm going to go this way, I have to go to California to see what the church life really is. So in 1964, in the last week of August that year, I got a word from the Lord. He says, if you don't go now, you will never go. And that frightened me enough to go. So my son had just come back with the car from a swimming, and so I asked him to take me to the bus. I'd already worked out the way of the bus schedule, and he took me to the bus. I got on, and off we went to Los Angeles, a 24-hour ride with no way to lean my seat back in the bus. So I met a young fellow on that bus who said he was Chinese, and I said, well, that's interesting. I'm going to a conference in Los Angeles that's led by a Chinese. He said, who's that? I said, his name, I cautious because I'd heard enough negative things. I was cautious. I said, his name is Witness Lee. He said, oh, I grew up in that church. I said, wow, I can't believe this. Here was a young man from Taiwan who had grown up in the church life there and was now attending a Methodist college in Texas. So it really bewildered me. But anyway, we were on our way. And by the time we got to Los Angeles, he had decided to stay for the conference. So we both got in touch with the brothers, and they took us to the house where they were meeting, which was known at that time Bonnie Bray, on Bonnie Bray Street in Los Angeles. 3-story house with the single brothers in the basement, the couples on the 2nd floor, the sisters in the 3rd floor. And all the meetings were conducted there, all the meals were prepared there, and there were probably 70 or 80 attending that training. That was on God's economy. And I got in the last week of that, and I had to go back. Then the next year, I was staying in that same situation for another year and still not able to break loose. But the next year, 1965, I went back to Los Angeles for 2 weeks. And the 3rd year, 1966, I moved there. And I've been there ever since until we moved to Anaheim. Well, praise the Lord for this time. But I have seen a good number of storms, a good number of big problems that have come into the church life. Sometimes aimed at Brother Lee personally, sometimes aimed at the way we meet by locality, and sometimes just by being kind of odd myself. So we got this kind of opposition, but every opposition only strengthened my realization of this is the way of the Lord. This is what the Lord is doing today. And I really praise the Lord for His mercy in all those occasions. That to spend that much time in the background of having tried to build up a non-denominational brethren assembly and finding that that wasn't the thing, but finding out from Brother Lee's ministry what really is on God's heart. What you heard this morning is really what's on God's heart. God's eternal economy. But I would just like to impress you with the fact that there is an enemy, Satan, who hates God's economy. First of all, he hates God. He wanted to be God without God. And then he wanted to attack God in any way he could. So he attacked man that was created by God. And then he attacks every representative of God on the earth. And eventually he attacked the Lord Jesus, who is God in the flesh. And then after that, through Saul of Tarsus and others, he attacked the body of Christ, which is just Christ enlarged. So we realize that this enemy is always attacking Christ, always putting down anything that expresses Christ. So he's attacking the church as the expression of Christ and seeking to divide it and to damage it any way he can. So we have to be aware that there is such an enemy. But this encouraging point is that he is limited to time. Satan is limited to time. His days are numbered. But God is eternal. God's purpose is an eternal purpose. He can never be defeated. He may be opposed, but he can never be defeated. So we have to take real courage not to give in to Satan's temptation to involve ourselves with any of these three things that damage the church life. That is, not taking Christ as our person and as our life and everything to us. That's the number one thing. Don't be distracted by substitutes for Christ. We just read that, and I'd just like to impress that, because this is the danger that we would be turned aside to take something else for our full attention except Christ. Christ is all in all. Amen. He's everything to us, even our person. We don't have our own person now. We have Christ as our person. But the enemy is always attacking in this way, and he'll do it by any means he can use. And even the Lord Jesus was here on earth when he was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. He took his disciples with him as they walked along, and he began to tell them what was going to happen. They were going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man would be taken and be crucified, and then he would rise again the third day, and his kingdom would come. And at that point, the mother of two of the disciples, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, came to him with her two sons and said, "Master, I want one favor from you." He said, "What is that?" He said, "Let my two sons, the one sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." So her eyes were on the kingdom, and his eyes, the son's eyes, were on being in a prominent place in the kingdom. But the Lord Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said, "We are able." He said, "Yes, you will drink the cup that I'm to drink." That means the cross. "But to give the kingdom, the throne of the kingdom, to anyone is not up to me. That's up to the Father for whom it's prepared." So he disappointed these two boys. They were seeking for some place, some prominence, and this is what cost them the trouble they got from the other disciples. But I just say this because this is one of the enemy's tactics, not to do something to make you evil, but to make you ambitious, to make you prominent, to make you try to be something in the Lord's recovery. And I've seen in these 38 years a number of times when this kind of ambition, this kind of pride has caused some to leave the recovery and damage a lot of dear saints. So I'd just like to pass that on as kind of a realization that the enemy uses these kind of good things to try to make us be more useful, be more prominent, be more noticed, to make us something special in the Lord's recovery. This is a damage, and this is not necessary. We're all nothing. We're all just small potatoes, as Brother Lee said. But we're here And by being a small potato, we're full of good nourishment. Amen. So we have to be able to share all that we have. So he breaks us and passes us out as little pieces of bread to one another, so we all get to eat the one loaf, the whole body of Christ. Amen. But saints, we have been brought through many, many ups and downs in the Lord's recovery. But the Lord is moving on. And I believe that because of a present world situation, and because of the Lord's move in his recovery, and even because of this meeting this weekend, there's every evidence that the Lord is anxious to come back. Amen. He's waiting for us. As someone said this morning, hurry up. Amen. He wants us to mature in life, to be built together in oneness, and to drop all kinds of clergy laity identifications and just be a living, functioning member of the body of Christ. Amen. If we all take this as our goal, as our practice, as our aim, the Lord will have a way to build up the overcomers, and this will bring the Lord back. Amen. To me, the world situation indicates the Lord is anxiously waiting to come back and destroy all the governments and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. So we'd like to give him all the cooperation we can, that he could raise up overcomers. Among all of us, there should be a number of overcomers, so we'll be ready to bring the Lord back for the benefit of the whole body. But to do this, we need the practice of the recovery of all the items that have been opened up to us that need recovering, that are in the Bible, that were misinterpreted, misunderstood, mistranslated, but now made open to us. We are the people on the earth today in the Lord's recovery who have the light as to God's eternal purpose, what his goal is, and what's been presented to us this morning. So I just pray, saints, that we would all give ourselves without reservation, even willing to die, even willing to be killed, that we might spread this gospel throughout every country in the world. Amen. Now is the time for some to get ready to go to Iraq. Amen. Iraq now has been changed. The way is open. Some have to go there. And all the countries in the Middle East, and every country in this world, all the nations, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the whole inhabited earth. Amen. Then the Lord will come. Amen. So saints, I've just invite you, encourage you, charge you to give yourself 100% to the Lord, to the Lord's recovery, to the truth of the Bible, and to God's plan for eternity, that we can see God's eternal economy accomplished. That means worked into us so that we are living Christ corporately as one body to express him on this earth. May the Lord really be with us. Pray for us. We're getting old, but in age, but we refuse to get old in spirit. Amen. And we trust the Lord to really keep us here until he comes. Amen. And that's the reason I'm pleading with you. I'd like us to hurry up so we can get raptured and not have to wait to die. The Lord wants to come back. I've been in a lot of weddings, and I've stood with a lot of grooms as they wait for their bride to come down the aisle or come into the room. And the groom, it seems like, is always ready. He's looking, waiting. Where is she? Where is she? She's out there powdering her face or fixing her dress or something, and he's anxious. He's ready. He's been ready for a whole year. Now, in the last 15 minutes, he'd been standing here waiting, and she hadn't come. This is the way the Lord is. The Lord is ready. He's prepared. He's been prepared for a long time. And now he's preparing everything on the earth suitable for his return. And now he's preparing us. So if we're prepared, he will come. Amen. So, saints, here comes the bride. Amen. We are the bride. Amen. We are the ones the Lord is building up together to be his counterpart for his return. Amen. In the meantime, we are in the local churches, and we'll hear more tonight. about the local churches and how important this aspect of the recovery is. That the churches, the local churches, the Lord has no way to express Himself. Every local church is to be an expression of Christ. A local church is just that, just a local church. Somebody asked me, and I told some of the brothers that while we were reading, somebody asked me, well, do you people think you're the only church? I said, no, not that way. But we're only the church. We're not something else. So don't let any divisions come in and separate you from being just the church. We are the church. God's eternal economy is with the church and with how He will express Himself on this earth. Thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be here. I never dreamed of having such an opportunity. When Dennis called me, I thought he had the wrong number. But anyway, we're happy to be here. Thank you very much.
You know, just as a side point, since we have Martha here, she said she received the Lord. Her assurance of salvation was in 1944. Martha has been an inspiration to a number of us, even related to reading the Word. Isn't that right, Martha? And she noticed that, you noticed when she said that after she got saved, she had a desire and a love for the Word. So I'd like to ask Martha, Martha, how many times have you read the Bible? Do you have an idea?
Well, in the beginning, I would read the Bible through in the King James, and then every version I heard of that newly came out, I would read through that. Then I read through the Bible in French, and I read a number of chapters, the whole New Testament, some chapters in the Old Testament in Arabic, and some in Spanish. The reason why I mention that, you get some light when you read it in another language. So those of you who are studying language, read the Bible in that language. It'll be a big help. Well, I stopped counting after about 30 times.
So I hope, you know, it's very good that the full-time training does not have a requirement to read the Bible 30 times before coming. Otherwise, no one would be there, right? But anyway, we still have to, those of us who love the Lord says, if you love me, you will love my word. So our love for the Lord is proven very much by our love for the word. And so we hope that even the Lord speaking to us is as the base must be from His Word. If we don't know the Word, we do not know the Lord speaking. The Lord speaking always comes from His Word. And this is why today, one of the landmarks in the Lord's recovery is we very much treasure the Word. We love the Word. We love to read the Word. I would encourage you. I would inspire you. I would admonish you. Read the Word. The Word is the basis, the standard, and the Word is the foundation and pathway of our Christian life. Okay?